Welcome to the Radio Bible Course. We're continuing our study of faith as found in Hebrews chapter 11, where the writer describes those Old Testament saints who were stoned, who were sawn in two, who were killed with a sword, who went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered over deserts and mountains. They lived in dens and caves of the earth. They had faith. What is faith? Faith is believing God. It's not trying to please men. It is God-centered. It takes faith to not follow the large crowds in religious movements or their religious heroes. Faith is not embracing religious fads, placing slogans on bumpers, clapping hands in approval of religious entertainment, or marching in protest to something. Faith may mean going in another direction, even going alone, not following popular ideas. Faith is getting on the Lord's side, regardless of what it may cost. Faith is having the assurance that what God has said in His Word is true, even without any evidence. Faith believes that God sent His Son into the world, who came to save sinners, and that sinners are saved through faith and nothing else. Faith encourages men and women to stand for the truth and to lay down their lives for the gospel. Faith believes in another life and in another world, where Jesus Christ is, the one who rose from the dead and went there ahead of us. Faith causes one to believe that he has been raised up with Christ, and therefore he seeks things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Faith causes men to set their minds on things above, not on the things that are on the earth, because they have died to self, and their lives are hidden with Christ in God. And Paul the Apostle wrote, "When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." When the author of the Hebrew Epistle wrote chapter 11, he may have had in mind the Maccabean persecutions. There are two so-called apocryphal books, 1st and 2nd Maccabees, found in the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament, and they sound very much like verses 37 and 38 of Hebrews chapter 11. In 1st Maccabees chapter 2, we read about a man named Mattathias and his sons, who refused to go sacrifice and burn incense to a false god. And many of the people of Israel consented and came to them, but Mattathias and his sons stood firm. And they that were sent from Antiochus, answering, said to Mattathias, "You are a ruler, and an honorable and great man in this city, and adorned with sons and brethren. Therefore, come first and obey the king's commandment, as all nations have done, and the men of Judah, and they that remain in Jerusalem. And you and your sons shall be in the number of the king's friends, and enriched with gold and silver and many presents." Then Mattathias answered and said with a loud voice, "Although all nations obey King Antiochus, so as to depart every man from the service of the law of his fathers and consent to his commandments, I and my sons and my brethren will obey the law of our fathers. God be merciful unto us. It is not profitable for us to forsake the law and the justices of God. We will not hearken to the words of King Antiochus, neither will we sacrifice and transgress the commandments of our law to go another way." So rather than compromise their faith, Mattathias and his sons fled into the mountains and left everything they had in the city. And they stayed there with their children and their wives and their cattle, and afflictions increased. And reading from verse 31 of that second chapter, it was told to the king's men and to the army that was in Jerusalem in the city of David that certain men who had broken the king's commandment were gone away into the secret places in the wilderness, and that many were gone after them. And forthwith they went out towards them and made war against them on the Sabbath day. And they said to them, "Do you still resist? Come forth and do according to the edict of King Antiochus, and you shall live." And they said, "We will not come forth, neither will we obey the king's edict to profane the Sabbath day." And they made haste to give them battle. But they answered them not, neither did they cast a stone at them, nor stopped up the secret places, saying, "Let us all die in our innocency, and heaven and earth shall be witnesses for us, that you put us to death wrongfully." So they gave them battle on the Sabbath, and they were slain, with their wives and their children and their cattle, to the number of 1,000 persons. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, we read of torture. That's the Greek word for the rack, an instrument of torture. Men were stretched on this rack and beaten to death. That happened to a man named Eleazar in 2 Maccabees chapter 6, because he refused to eat forbidden flesh. Hebrews 11:39 tells us that all these, though well attested by their faith, did not receive what was promised. They had promises, but did not see their fulfillment. They lived and they died, knowing that what was not fulfilled on earth would await them in that eternal kingdom. So greatly did they believe that they looked at this earth as a foreign land. They were citizens of another commonwealth, and their desire for God compelled them to endure whatever torture was inflicted. And in this they were much like Abraham, who looked for a city above, whose builder and maker was God. Well, did it do any good for these people of faith? Of what value was it to those who sacrificed themselves? It was for our instruction and encouragement that we might follow them in faith. They waited for the Messiah, but saw him not. He came later, however, and the new covenant established by the Son of God has come to bring them and us to perfection. God, it says in verse 40 of Hebrews chapter 11, foresaw something better for us, and those martyrs are heirs with us of better things. We all have a better covenant, a better priest, a better sacrifice, a better resurrection, and a better hope. What kind of faith do you possess? Does it accept death through sickness? Or does your faith insist on healing? Does your faith stand firm on what God said about purity and honesty and loving the brotherhood? Do you have faith that may lead to loss, defeat, and ridicule, and still bring you joy? These are strong tests of faith. God never promised to make us happy, but he did say, "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ promised us joy, and he said our joy would be full. But that's different from happiness. Now our author has taken us from the glamorous victories of faith to the most pathetic examples. Faith wins some battles, but there are far more losses. And faith guarantees you no victory in this life. Some people were delivered. Many were slain. But faith does overcome the world, and those who believe God are guaranteed seats at the victory banquet in glory. Listen to how John put it in his first epistle. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Faith is that conviction of heart that needs no signs. Don't seek signs, lest you be condemned with those who saw and believed not. Tell God you need no more signs. Tell him the signs of Jesus satisfy you, and you need nothing more. That, my friends, is faith, biblical faith. Faith is believing God for no other reason than because he said it. It is the quiet confidence in one's heart that God is and is a rewarder of them that seek him. It is conviction that faith pleases God and that without faith it is impossible to please him. That being the case, everyone needs to understand what the Bible means by faith. We're certain that our free booklet entitled Heaven's Password will help you with that. Write for your copy today. Ask for Heaven's Password. It's free. Did you know that all of these teachings on the Book of Hebrews are available on cassette tape? You can get information about how to order teaching tapes on Hebrews by writing for our teaching tape brochure. It's free. Ask for the teaching tape brochure. Let me also tell you about our teaching tapes on the Book of Daniel. Many people do not understand the Book of Daniel or pay too much attention to it, but it is the key to understanding end time events. And did you know that Daniel foretells the exact time when Jesus Christ would be crucified? That's in chapter 9 of the Book of Daniel. He also talks about how Jesus Christ someday will return and reign as king, and every tongue and every nation will bow before him. Our teaching tapes on Daniel are available also for your purchase, and they are listed in our teaching tape brochure. You get understanding of end-time events by listening to these tapes. And now I want to thank our many listeners who have sent gifts to keep the Radio Bible Course on the air. We've been broadcasting with your gift since 1986, and we thank God for your faithfulness. Did you know that no gifts to the Radio Bible Course are used to pay salaries or benefits to any person? All gifts are used to pay for these broadcasts, for the expenses of our Sunday morning class, and for the free publications which we send to our listeners. The Radio Bible Course is an independent Bible teaching ministry. Our headquarters are in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Until next week, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.